And welcome back to Friday Night at Blockbuster. I'm Kate Valley.
I'm Kieran Valley.
So, Kieran, before we get into this week's movie, which I think you have deemed not a sad movie, but we'll talk about that in a few minutes, there's some things that came out this week that I think we need to talk about. First, last night was the Super Bowl.
Yep.
You didn't do very well on your betting. I did okay out of our family, but I think the more exciting news for us is that we got some new movie trailers. So, what are your thoughts? What ones are you excited for? What maybe surprised you now that you've seen a trailer?
There were like 12 movie trailers.
Yeah, there was a lot.
Played last night or premiered last night. So I picked out like just a few. Like there are some Kung Fu Panda 4 where it's like, well, I haven't watched any Kung Fu Panda movie. So the fourth one doesn't really move the needle one way or the other. Like I'm not going to go see it. I think the biggest one, and the one that most people are probably talking about or were excited about, is Deadpool and Wolverine.
Yep, that's on my list.
It's not for me. It's not for me. Just recently, another podcast that I listened to deemed this type of movie like wink comedy action, where it's sort of like it's a comedy action movie or an action comedy movie. The humor in it is like a winking humor, a sort of like, none of this is, like, don't worry about this. This isn't real. This isn't,
okay.
Don't take any of this seriously. Like, aren't we all gonna, you know, just have a good time or whatever? And I don't really respond to that type of humor. That has never, ever really made me laugh. Like, I think there's a little bit of a difference between that and meta humor. But within the first 10 seconds of the trailer, when Ryan Gosling is already referencing the fact that he's now
Ryan Reynolds?
Yeah, who did I say?
Gosling.
Oh, yeah. Well, we'll get to Ryan Gosling in a minute. Might explain why I confused the two. Ryan Reynolds. When Ryan Reynolds is already referencing the fact that he's now, and Disney, or and Deadpool is a part of Disney.
Yeah.
I was like, oh. So, I get it. Like, that is the Deadpool humor. Like, but I was like, oh, we can't even go 10 seconds. Like, you know what I mean? Like, so yeah, I saw Deadpool. I didn't really like it. I happily skipped out on 2. I'm going to happily skip out on 3.
I think what's going to be hard for people with this one is immediately when Deadpool is met with kind of the conflict and the people that are coming after him or whatever. I immediately was like, oh, that's the TVA, because I've seen the Loki show, and that's the whole point of the Loki show. And Kieran immediately was like, who's that? Like, so I think this is where we get into our big discussion that we've had before about if you're in the MCU universe and you're keeping up to date with the shows and the movies, it's easy to keep watching them because you know what's happening. Whereas, like, I think if people have only seen Deadpool and this one's now come out, it's kind of like, well, to really understand what's happening, you kind of need to watch some other things to
there's a lot of homework required to keep up with the new, and
so
I'm not interested, not
but
for me.
The thing I was interested as well in the trailer is it's Deadpool and Wolverine, but they don't actually show him, so I'm wondering if they have somebody new as
no I'm pretty sure it's like confirmed that it is Hugh Jackman, despite the fact that he retired from the role 6 years ago.
I don't know if you know anything about the TVA. There's different people playing different people all the time, so
I'd be like very, very surprised if it was not Hugh Jackman.
I think maybe he comes in for an appearance, but I don't wonder if it's not him the whole movie. So
we'll see.
Okay,
we'll
what's see. Some of your other ones?
So one of the plus ones is the new Planet of the Apes movies. So I just watched I was gonna say the first three. I guess it's like the most recent three.
Yeah, I kind of always get a little confused.
The prequel three, I guess. I don't really know what kind of trilogy we're calling them. But I watched the ones with Andy Serkis there like 2 weeks ago and was just blown away. Like even the first one, which might be my least favorite, I was like, this is still really, really good. And I was watching them, you know, with a mind that the new one is coming out, a fourth one is coming out. And as soon as the trailer started, I was like, oh, yeah, like, Christ, they are so good. They're such good movies. And I think this is what the Jurassic Park series, like, wishes they were.
Okay.
Is to have these types of movies where there's cutting-edge technology being used, there's good storylines, there's good characters, there's all these sort of things that the Apes movies have perfected. I think the difference is, and I was talking to a friend last night about it, is the Jurassic Park movies keep making the dinosaurs the bad guys. They keep making the dinosaurs the monsters of the movie. And we're following the humans trying to control them or, you know, do whatever they've got to do. But they're kind of always the bad guy. The dinosaurs are kind of always the bad guys. Whereas in the Apes movies, the apes are the good guys. And the humans are the bad guys. And there are some humans that are like good and bad and gray and things like that. But we are like, you never ever lose track of the fact that we should be rooting for the apes.
Okay.
And so when you flip it like that, if we were always rooting for the dinosaurs, then when they do kill some humans, you could kind of be like, well, yeah, they're doing, you know, there would be reasons to do it. Like the apes kill humans in the apes movies. But I was never once like, oh, these guys are absolute bastards. Like we need to kill all the apes. Like, because they flipped the whole formula or whatever it is. And so, yeah, the fourth one coming out, it doesn't have Andy Serkis, which, you know, I'm a little worried about, but I'm in. You're all in. Yeah. Yeah.
Do you want to get to your Ryan Gosling mix up?
So, yeah, so he's got The Fall Guy coming out, which I think is like a remake of his 70s TV show or an 80s TV show.
Okay.
And, like, it just looks like Deadpool 4. Like, it's the exact same tone and vibe. And I know that Gosling has started to do this a little bit more recently. And, like, even something like Barbie, there is a little bit of this in there. I think Greta Gerwig correctly and wisely corrals it a little bit better.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's just like the exact same vibe as Deadpool. And so I was sort of like, nope, I'm not watching that either. I happily pass on that one.
When it kind of started, and maybe it's because it's a 70s and 80s thing, so maybe they're trying to keep some of that kind of style about it. But I was there being like, okay, so like, what's the point of the movie? Like, what's going to be the story? What's the, like, I kind of couldn't follow the trailer very well. So
I think it's a movie that's got Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in it. Yeah. Like, I don't think they really care if you know what the story is or not. Like, I think they just assume you're going.
You're
going
to go.
Yeah.
Because the other one, and like, maybe it was just me, it didn't really kind of, the joke didn't really land for me. I didn't totally get it. Was the If movie with Ryan Reynolds again. And
Randall Park as John Krasinski.
Yeah.
That's because you never watched The Office.
Oh, okay.
So it's a callback to a cold open in The Office, like season 7 or whatever. Okay. Which, like, really weird, guys, that this is the joke that you're calling back to. But it has, I guess, become one of these, like, YouTube videos that people watch over and over and over again. But,
and, like, if you know, you know.
If you know, you know. So okay. The whole premise is that, you know how John Krasinski's gym would pull pranks on Dwight in The Office. So one of the pranks that he pulled was Randall Park, who is the guy in the trailer, showed up to work one day as if he was Jim.
Okay.
And he comes in and he's like, hey, how's it going, Dwight? And Dwight's like, who the hell are you? And he's like, weird joke. You know, I'm Jim. And then All these things that Dwight tries to catch him on, he knows the answer to. So like, who did you make the sale with yesterday? And Randall Park knows who he made the sale with. And, you know, there's a picture on Jim's desk with Jim and his family. And Dwight looks at it and it's Randall Park in the gym position with the fan. And so like, it's one of those things where it's like, oh, it's funny for 2 seconds. But then you're sort of like, oh, wow, they kept that up the entire trailer. The entire 2 minutes, they just kept going back to that well.
Yeah, well, because, yeah, then it goes into the behind the scenes. And like, clearly he's just been either photoshopped in or they did do scenes where they actually had him come in and stuff. So
who knows? Who knows? But I don't know. Like, I like Randall Park. Like, I'm happy that he's getting work or whatever. But it's sort of like, that's a weird joke to call back to, you guys. It's very unrelated to this whatsoever. But okay. In an attempt to, like, not be too down and negative on all of these movies.
Okay.
Twisters looks awesome.
Is that a remake, though, or something? Like, there was a movie called Twister, wasn't there?
Yeah, there was.
Oh, okay.
I have no answers to that question.
Okay.
Like, I do not know if it's a reboot, or if it's a sequel, or if it's a remake.
Or a standalone.
I have no idea what's going on. From the beats of the trailer, like, obviously, you don't want to assume what the story is then going to be. But from the beats of the trailer, I was like, yeah, all those beats are exactly the same
okay.
as the original movie. But none of the characters' names are the same. Like, all the characters are different characters. Okay. So, remains to be seen.
But you're excited for it?
Big time. I really, really enjoyed the original. I just watched it for the first time a few weeks ago. Really enjoyed it. This one's got Daisy Edgar Jones. Big fan.
Yep.
It's got Glenn Powell. Big fan. It just looks kind of dumb and fun. Like, I think it's just going to be like a lot of CGI twisters. And it's going to be like, yeah, this is awesome.
Okay.
I don't see a problem with it.
I think the one that I'm most excited for, which there's not a chance that I will convince you to watch in any shape or form, is Wicked.
Yeah. No way in hell is that ever happening.
But it's coming out at Thanksgiving. If it had come out a little bit later, I would have pushed for it to be our Christmas movie already of the year. But
well, it'll be coming out at American Thanksgiving.
Oh, that's true.
Which is definitely going to be closer to Christmas.
Oh, maybe I can swing this then if I get enough votes from the family. But no, I'm excited for it. I loved the stage show of it. And so I'm excited to see how they'll change, how it'll go from stage to movie.
Right.
Ariana Grande is a bit of an interesting choice for me. So.
Yeah, I was going to say, like, I'm probably not going to go see this movie. It doesn't really hold that much interest for me. I will say, though, that, like, Cynthia Erivo, who's playing, I guess, the Wicked Witch.
Yeah, Elphaba.
Yeah, whatever. She's awesome. She's great. Okay. Cynthia Erivo is great. Having her opposite Ariana Grande is, like, interesting casting because I think Cynthia Erivo is just going to, like, run circles around Ariana Grande.
I think it's because of the songs. So, like, it is a musical. So I wonder if it's they wanted somebody who had kind of a powerful voice or something about the voice for, I think it's pronounced Galinda, which is Ariana Grande's character.
And there was nobody else in the world we could have possibly found with a good singing voice.
Not a good singing voice. Maybe something about the voice. Maybe they're
looking... Is the voice in auto-tune or...
I don't know.
Okay.
But so I'm excited for that one. But
I don't know if you want to be handing the reins to your big $200-300 million movie to Ariana Grande, who's never acted in a movie.
That's true.
Like, I know
you're just worried. You're worried for it.
I know she comes from, like, the Disney Nickelodeon channel, but, like, has she ever actually been the lead of a movie where she's had to act before?
I don't think so. It's not jumping to my head, at least.
I don't see this going very, very well. Like, we've tried this with Taylor Swift. It never really worked.
That's true.
Of all the things Taylor Swift can do, apparently acting is not one of them. So, yeah, I don't know. I guess we'll see. Yeah. I guess we'll see.
The other one was Moana 2.
Yeah, but that... Because
it was
that,
a teaser, so I'm intrigued to know what the story is going to be.
Even that, I was like a very much a teaser. Like, it was basically just a shot of an island with some singing and then Moana 2. And sort of like, oh, like they might not even be finished yet.
Yeah, but I'm excited because I thought the movie kind of wrapped up nicely.
I would agree.
And stuff. So, like, I'm intrigued to see.
What more could they possibly
say? Where
are
they going with number two? But.
Oh, the other one is the Inside Out 2 then.
Yes.
Didn't love the first one.
You did not. But I loved the first one. That's the other one, actually.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. Like,
that one I can see, though, because you could almost kind of go back to it every couple of years.
And just add a new
when
emotion.
When Riley grows, right? Like, you get more emotions. You understand things more. So I think I think there's four new emotions coming in.
Well, I guess my question, though, is in the first one, we see inside the mother and the father's brain. And they all had the same basic emotions that Riley had. So, like, where are their extra emotions now that they're older?
Maybe Riley doesn't perceive those extra emotions because she only understands the four that she has.
But
maybe
Riley wasn't seeing inside her parents' brain.
No, but you would things, like, as a kid, I wouldn't have seen mom's anxiety. I wouldn't have seen mom's whatever. But I could recognize if mom was angry because I had anger.
But the scenes where we see inside the parents' brain is not Riley perceiving it.
Yeah.
It is the parents running through their own emotions to figure out what's going on with Riley. So it's them.
Maybe they've suppressed them.
Possibly, I guess. But then you're sort of like,
we'll see what the emotions are, and then
is that a good message? If your first message is embrace all of your emotions, can the message of the second movie be actually suppress some of them? Just keep some of them real deep and hidden and away from the world, especially from your husband and your child. I would be more interested in that.
I mean, you are going to go see Inside Out 2 in theaters, because I think everybody's going to be so excited for that review.
We need to move on.
Okay, so on to this week's movie?
Yeah.
Okay, so we are going back to February 11th, 2005, when we could have rented The Notebook. But I don't think we would have. Can you remember the first time you watched it?
I can't remember the first time I watched it. It probably was not very long after this time, because I was like of the perfect age where every sort of girlfriend, girl that's a friend, friend that's a girl, whatever you want to label them all, would have seen this movie.
That's true.
And would have wanted to watch it 100 more times. And so sometimes you get roped into just watching it. So I don't remember the first time that I watched it, but I do know that I
watched it early.
Yeah, this was of the age. I think you were a little bit younger, so I don't know how it would have got to your age group. But yeah, for my friends, this was a big one. This was a big deal.
So I don't remember exactly what year it was, but I do remember seeing this for the first time. Which, for a lot of the movies that we've done, I can't remember, but this one I can. I was over at a friend's house, and we were sitting up in, I think it must have been her parents' room, because they had the TV in there with the DVD player, and so we were sitting in there. And I had zero interest in this movie. I kept playing with my watch that would light up, and I would sit on the floor and, like, flash it up in their eyes, and the two girls I was with were
both... You sound insufferable. I would have kicked you out of the room.
You would have hated me. But I couldn't identify with the movie. I couldn't understand them. Whatever it was, I just like had zero interest in this movie this day. And my two friends just let me kind of do what I wanted to do. And the two of them were like, oh my God, this is so great. And crying and tears and all of the emotions. And I was just there being like, I don't get it. I don't. Can we go do something fun now? Like, let's go play a game. Let's go run around, do something. But yeah, so I was not a fan the first time.
So why are we doing an episode of this then? Because, spoiler alert, I don't really care for this movie.
Because I've changed my tune now. Okay. Now that I'm older. Okay. Now that I'm older and that I've...
Now that you've found your own lumberyard worker? Yeah. Okay.
But I don't know at what point it did change for me. I think it's just...
Over the years.
And I think it's partly because some of the books that I read now are kind of this idea of a story. I've read, it's a Nicholas Sparks book, right? So I've read a bunch of his now. They all seem to follow the same...
Yeah, we'll get to Nicholas Sparks.
Formula.
Yeah. We can save him for later.
Okay. But yeah, so no, I've changed my tune. I really enjoy it now. But so yeah, only 2.5 stars for you.
I just think it's fine. Like, I don't think it's anything special, which I just said we'll save Nicholas Sparks for later, but, like, that's kind of his M.O. Like, okay. It's just like, okay. I don't know. Like, it's never that exciting or interesting.
So, have you seen many Nicholas Sparks movies?
I have seen 7 Nicholas Sparks
movies. Wow. Which, you looked it up.
When I looked it up, I was like, holy crap. Like, what am I doing with my life? I've watched 7 Nicholas Sparks movies.
I'm curious to see how many I've seen now. Hold on. So, I think I've seen 9 or 10.
Okay.
Do you want to say which ones you have seen, or do you want to just leave it that you've seen 7?
Well, I don't have it in front of me, but I've seen Message in a Bottle, I've seen Walk to Remember, this is the third one that he did.
Yep.
I've seen Dear John, I've seen The Choice.
Yep.
And I've seen The Long Ride. Or The Longest Ride. Whatever it's called.
Okay, so I haven't seen Message in a Bottle. I've seen all the other ones. But I've then seen Safe Haven, The Lucky One, and Last Song, which is the Miley Cyrus one.
Oh, I've seen that one.
Yeah?
I've seen that one.
Okay.
That's 7.
That's 7?
Yeah. Like, this is probably the high watermark. I don't think they ever got any better than this. And I don't necessarily love this movie, but... like there's also a part of me where it's sort of like, I am certainly not the demographic. Like there is nothing in this movie being pitched to me. And like, that is fine. You know what I mean? There are a lot of other people in the world who need movies pitched to them. I've got my Apes movies. I'm good.
You're good.
I'm good.
Apes and Twisters.
Apes and Twisters. And that's Kieran. That's the Venn diagram of movies that I like. But there is another part of me where it's like, I have watched a lot of romantic movies. We've talked about a few of them here, like the Before series and things like that. Like, it's not that I don't like these movies because I don't like this genre. I just don't like these movies because I don't think they're very good in their genre.
I think we've talked about authors and movie makers and things like that who kind of have their thing and they do their thing very well. And I would argue, in a way, like, Nicholas Sparks is that for kind of romantic books. Like, if you like his books, you'll like all of his books. Because always the same format. And, like, I can tell you a general description of all of those movies because they all follow the same thing.
Yeah. No, like, you're not wrong. I think I would maybe push back on the, like, if they're good at it. I think, the good at it with Nicholas Sparks is that they make money.
Yes.
So his books are bestsellers. The movies come out and they make money for the most part. The interesting thing is that, like, they keep making them, but, like, they actually get not very good scores. Like, critics and things like that don't really give them good. And, like, I guess that makes a little bit of sense. But, yeah, like, they keep making money. So, like, why not just keep returning to the well? Like, it's probably not that expensive to make a Nicholas Sparks book into a movie because it kind of is just, like, two people in a room falling in love. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
not a whole lot going on, really. But yeah.
No, it was interesting. So I watched this last night while I was also watching the Super Bowl because I couldn't sit there and just watch the Super Bowl. That would have been too boring of a night for me. But
this movie might actually have been better than last night's Super Bowl.
That's very true.
I'll say that. God, that was a terrible game.
But the night previous, I watched Past Lives, finally.
Right. There you go.
So,
yes, great example of a romantic movie
that you love.
That I really love.
That you really love. It was interesting for me to kind of watch them, and I think that's partly why I did it kind of back to back, because I was like, I know Kieran loves Past Lives. I'm sure he doesn't like The Notebook. So, like, what's the differences in them? Like, what makes one better for him and one not great? Because in some ways, they follow a similar story. They meet young. Something separates them. They kind of reconnect. And then what happens to them?
Yeah.
I found Past Lives, like, just much more of, like, a gentle story and, like, a gentle way of telling the story and things. Like, they are just, it reminded me a lot of the Before series where they're just wandering, in this case, New York City when they meet up again and stuff. And so, whereas this one, they have a lot more of, like, her family doesn't approve, and then she's, like, all of that. Like, I found there's a little bit more turbulent in a way, I guess. But, yeah, so it's just kind of interesting to watch them both back to back.
I think for me, a lot of it comes down to character. Like, are they good characters? Do I want to hang out with them more? And, like, the hard thing with The Notebook is, do I want to hang out with Ryan Gosling? Sure. Seems like a great guy. Do I want to hang out with Rachel McAdams? Sure. Seems like a great girl. Do I want to hang out with Noah and Allie? Absolutely fucking not. Like, okay. Like, not at all. Do I want to, like, you know, neither of those two characters are all that interesting, really. You know what I mean? Whereas, to bring it back to Past Lives, like, I find the three characters in that movie all have their own interests and desires. And, you know, they all have their own lives outside of this relationship that they kind of find themselves in. And it's just a way more interesting watch because you don't know how the chips are all going to fall for the three of them. Whereas, like, in this movie, there's no question that the two of them are going to be together.
Okay. Well, so let's kind of talk about the two storylines then.
Okay. Yep.
Because I think it brings me back to a point that you had made previously before we talked about the, like, before on the podcast or whatever. So we have the young couple, so Noah and Allie, Ryan Gosling and Rachel McAdams, or we have the older couple, who's James Garner.
Yeah.
And
Gina Rollins.
And yeah.
Yeah.
Which do you prefer storyline?
Well, I definitely prefer the younger storyline.
Okay.
Yeah. The older storyline is somehow worse, to be honest with you. Now, the James Garner, Gina Rowlands one, like, they're two legends, absolute legends. Okay. But the setting of their story is just not compelling. Like, it's just in a hospital, and the hospital looks like a million other hospitals. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
there's nothing interesting going on in their setting. They don't use the setting all that well. And because it's basically just a framing device, like, their storyline is just a framing device to get us back in time to talk about Ryan Gosling and Rachel McAdams. We don't ever spend that much time with them.
Yeah.
To really sort of get to know who they are. These two characters, like, spoiler alert, they are the older versions.
Yeah.
But like, I wanted to ask you this as well. Like, is there ever a moment in the movie where we are supposed to assume they are not Ryan Gosling and Rachel McAdams?
I think you are. And so that's why when you said that you predicted this, I wanted to know, how did you know that the two of them are the older version of the two?
Because I've watched a movie before. Like, there is no question that they are the two older versions of the younger characters.
Oh, I think...
In what world was this movie ever going to end without these two together?
Well, I don't know if it would never end with them not together, but it could have been that, like, I don't know. I'm trying to think now on the spot.
I'll walk you through some of the signs.
What are your signs?
Yeah. Where I was just like, oh, like, they're not even... This is why I was asking, like, is it supposed to be a bit of a surprise or a twist or whatnot? Because I was like, you guys are not even... It's not even that you're hiding it. It's not even that you're dropping little clues along the way. You're just flat out telling me what's going on.
I think it is supposed to be a surprise because they refer to him as Duke.
Yeah.
When the family comes.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, none of the kids obviously refer to her as mom or grandma or anything like that. Until she leaves.
Yeah.
And then it's kind of, she looks good today and stuff. So then it's kind of the idea of, like, oh, they have been introduced before. Like, they know who she is.
Yeah.
And stuff. But so what are some of your hints?
Well, first of all, they call her Allie within the opening, like, 20, 30 minutes of the movie. Yeah,
I think this is the first time I noticed that.
They say Allie. And so then you're like, okay, well, then that's definitely Rachel McAdams. And I now have a whole movie where Rachel McAdams is going to have to choose between Ryan Gosling or James Marsden.
Yeah.
And it's like, okay, fair enough. Interesting. You know, maybe in some cosmic other world, through the Loki time warps, she may have chosen James Marsden. Except, I think it's the third shot of the movie, they show the house, which has now been converted to the hospital. And the house is the house that Ryan Gosling renovates.
Is it? I didn't see that thing. Or house. I didn't make that. I thought it was just a similar house.
No, I'm pretty sure it's the exact same house. And so, like, you've straight up told me now, the house that she lives in is the house that he built. It's like, yeah, that's definitely going to be Ryan Gosling then. There's no way that's not going to be him. And so, yeah, I genuinely surprised on this time through where I was like, oh, the structure is actively working against this movie. Because the structure is actually showing me things probably 30, 40, 50 minutes before the movie tells us it. But by the time the movie tells us the information, sort of like, yeah, I've figured that out in the credits scene. We hadn't even had the title yet.
And
we already see the house. It's like, I don't know who put this together, but come on. You're like, some question marks would have been a big positive here.
But I don't think it is the same house.
It looks exactly the same.
It's very similar, but on this page, it's talking about it's the Black River Plantation. And that's not what his...
What is his?
His was something else, but it's not that.
It looks the exact same.
I think it's similar because they're all similar.
Well, it looks the exact same. Either, like, if you're going to do that, either find something radically different.
Maybe. I don't know. Maybe I've confused myself now. They all do look very similar, so maybe it is the same one.
I'm almost certain it's the exact same house.
Continue. Continue with your thought, though.
The other ones, there are a few that are maybe a little bit more subtle, except for the fact that they've decided to choose the color red, which just, like, draws the eye immediately. But, like, Allie is always dressed in red. Or at the big moments, colors. The big moments in her life, she's always dressed in red. And the first time we see Gina Rollins, she's dressed in red. So, like, there are just a lot of things where it's sort of like, we've talked about mystery movies, we've talked about heist movies where, like, they drop little clues along the way and you figure out, like, oh, that's a clue on a rewatch. But these ones, it's like, you know, alarm bells and pay attention to this.
Big arrows.
Like, that's how I felt watching this movie. It's sort of like, oh, you guys are really, you're taking this concept, but dumbing it way down to sort of be like, do not miss this information. It's going to be important. And yeah, I sort of just like, oh my God, like, it's just not, I don't know. It's not put together very well.
Okay.
Do you have a favorite though? I imagine your favorite is Gosling and McAdam.
Yeah. Yeah. I think because the older couple storyline is just so sad to me that, like, I can't love them because you know you're going to end in heartbreak. Are we getting to why this is a sad movie for me, but not for you? Are we getting to that point now?
Do we want to get there? It's going to have to spoil the ending. Like, were you trying to save the ending for...
No, because I think by this point, this is a big enough movie that everybody knows the end.
Okay.
I'm sure. So, let's start with you, though. Why is this not a sad movie for you?
Because the two of them spend their entire lives together and die in each other's arms. Like, irregardless of how we got to that point...
That it ends on a high note for you, so it can't be sad?
I think if you ask 100 couples, would you guys like to die at an old age... in each other's arms at the same time with the recognition of you both love each other. Like, don't forget, Allie's supposed to have dementia.
Yeah.
But 2 minutes before she dies, she's like, I know who you are and I love you.
Yeah.
I think 100 couples are taking that 100 times. You mean, like, there is no question that anyone in a relationship with the person, their love of their life, if I said to them, you will have 60 years together, you will have, you know, as many children as you want and grandchildren as you want, and you'll spend your whole lives together and you'll die in each other's arms peacefully in your sleep, that nobody's saying, nah, I could do better, I think. I could find a better way out than that one.
I think.
And so, like, if that's, like, that's not sad to me. That's very, very almost schmaltzy and happy. You know what I mean? Like, almost too much. Like,
I don't know if I've ever heard you word that you use the word schmaltzy before.
Yeah, well, it's almost like there already is a cherry on top of the sundae, and now you're adding even more sprinkle. Like, it's sort of like you've pushed it really far here, guys. So yeah, for me, this has never, ever, ever been considered a sad movie. Not like there are sad things.
Okay.
But this is not a sad movie.
Okay. I think for me, the sad things happen more often or are bigger chunks of the movie. So for me, I consider it a sad movie. Although it ends on that happy note with them dying in each other's arms and looking real cute in the bed. Like, there's so much of this where every time it's just like, oh God, they're in this scene again. Or, oh man, this is happening. Like, I'm just weighed down by those scenes that it can't be not a sad movie for me.
I would just like to bring up one point here. I just Googled,
are they the same house that they are?
Yeah. In the film adaptation of The Notebook, the plantation house that Noah renovated was turned into a nursing home wherein he and Allie were staying in their old age.
Okay.
Case closed. Case closed. So, like, listen, I hear you. Like, dementia is, like, heartbreakingly sad.
Yes.
Heartbreakingly sad. I would add in the wrinkle that in the movie, numerous characters tell Noah, like, listen, dude, she's got dementia. She's not coming back. And he's always sort of like, you know, science only goes so far and then God comes in, which is sort of like, well, that's not how that works, but okay. In Nicholas Sparks's universe, maybe that's how that goes.
Oh, it always happens.
But then we find out that she has come back a few times.
Yeah. For a few moments.
For a few moments here and there. Like, he reads her the story. Another clue, by the way, he's not reading a book, he's reading a journal. So, like, he's quite clearly telling them their story.
Okay.
It's not telling them a random book off the shelf. It is a journal, and you can see that it's been handwritten. Another clue. But yes, I think even the dementia aspect is, like, softened by the fact that she does keep coming back and she does keep recognizing who he is and reaffirming that she still does love him. I don't think, unfortunately, your regular dementia patient has that many lucid moments towards the end.
Yeah. I think for me, although, yes, she comes back, like, in particular, the one scene where she does remember they're dancing for a few moments, and then very quickly you can see her kind of be like, well, let's get out of here. Wait, you just called me honey, but I don't know you. And, like, all of that.
Definitely. Sad moment. Like, sad moment
for sure.
And him
then having to watch her struggle and cry and whatever, and he's then crying. Heartbreaking. Like, that is sad. That is very sad. Their fight when they're younger and he drives away because he knows he's never going to please the parents. He's never going to be who the parents pick. And
I have a bone to pick with that moment, but we keep going. Sorry, keep going. We'll
get there. And stuff. And so they have their fight and he drives off and then she's just kind of there being like, but wait, we're not actually breaking up. Like, this was just a fight. We'll be okay tomorrow. And then the parents are like, nope, bye tomorrow. We're leaving. And she doesn't kind of get the goodbye. The mom keeps the letters that he writes every day for a year. Like, heartbreaking. It's all very heartbreaking.
I think it's all matters of convenience to keep these two apart. I think Nicholas Sparks would get a little bit more creative in something like Dear John, where it's sort of like, yeah, he's in the military. He needs to leave.
Yeah.
This one is kind of a, like, my parents are taking me away. It's sort of like, oh, okay, like... I'm sure we could find a way around this. Like, it's not this great chasm that we can't bridge. But none of those pull at the heartstrings as much as something in like Past Lives, where there are genuine moments of like, she's going to leave her husband for this guy because there is an actual genuine connection with this other person that she just can't walk away from. In this, it was sort of like, no, there's no question that these two are going to find their way back to each other, even on the dementia ward of this hospital. Okay. They're going to come back together
and
eventually.
Then, like, even when him and Finn go off to war and he watches his friend die in front of him, does it pull on your heartstrings?
One of the worst death scenes ever. First of all, like, so clearly just not filmed anywhere near Europe. But, like, there is a shot of all the American soldiers walking through the snow. And then there's the shot of like 50 airplanes and one comes down to bomb them. And you're sort of like, you guys were willingly walking into the sky of enemy airplane. Like, how come only now you're finding cover? Yeah. Like, I think before, once I saw the planes, I would have been like, oh, we should probably hide, guys. Let's not walk in an open field here. And then it was also like, it made me laugh for a minute when Finn dies because he's been bombed.
Okay.
Into a snowbank. And you are sort of like, I think they just put Kevin Connolly in a snowbank and like piled the snow up around him to sort of be like, okay, you're dead now. Like, we don't see his body. We don't see, there's no blood, nothing like that. And you're sort of like, oh, okay. Like, you know, this was. Oh, we got to wrap this up before lunch.
Yeah, and then we can't get too gruesome. No, otherwise it gets a higher ranking or a higher rating, sorry. But, okay. So not a tug on your heartstrings kind of movie for you.
No.
And I don't think anything I will say will change that, so.
No, because I just don't... I don't know. Like, these kind of romance movies or stories where it's sort of like, I don't believe in fate. I don't believe in this sort of stuff. So the fact that they had like one summer that then sustained them for years and years and years, and they finally, like, I just sort of like, like, it's good for movies, but it's not real.
Not your life.
It's not real. It's not reality. So
who would you have picked if you were Allie? Would you have picked Ryan Gosling or James Marsden?
Well, like, to be fair, it's maybe like the one really great part of the movie.
Okay. We have a great part in the movie, yeah, everybody.
Is the fact that like you can see it.
Yeah.
You can see that like both guys do something to Allie that the other can't or is unable to, or, you know, won't.
She connects with one on something and yeah.
But it's not like normally what ends up happening in these types of movies is like one is so clearly perfect and the other is like not.
Yeah.
Whereas in this, it's sort of like James Marsden's not like, Lon is a good guy.
Yeah.
You know, he seems nice. He seems understanding. He seems like he's a fun guy to be around. He's just not Ryan Gosling.
Yeah.
So, you know, that's the sort of thing. So, like, to be fair to the movie, like, that is, I was watching this and it was sort of like, oh, like, they don't make Lon have a temper. They don't make Lon have anything. Like, you know, he never messes up. He's just not the guy she wants to be with. And it's like,
yeah.
Okay, that's actually kind of interesting and cool. So, like, fair enough.
Yeah, no, I liked that too. Because, yeah, like you said, some of the other Nicholas Sparks ones, he does kind of introduce that between the two people.
And there's like, obviously, there's like, one who's like, you're not choosing this person. Yeah. You're not doing that.
Yeah. So with him not doing it in this case, but yeah, you do kind of feel a little sad for Lon because like he does love her. And even after she's done this and whatever else, he's kind of like, I would take you back, but I don't, like, I'm always going to be your second choice. And yeah. I don't want to be your second choice.
Yeah, he recognizes it. And, yeah.
And stuff, but any points you want to bring up?
Well, I think, like, we haven't really actually talked all that much about Gosling and McAdams together. And it's like, it is pretty undeniable. Like,
yeah,
their chemistry together on screen, you're sort of like, yeah, it makes perfect sense that A, this movie was a big hit, and then B, they ended up in a relationship in real life. It's certainly.
I was trying to remember if it was the movie and then relationship, or
I'm pretty sure it was.
Were they in a relationship and then both got the movie? But I think it makes sense the first way.
I think it was the relationship and then the movie and then the relationship.
Yeah.
And like, yeah, I think it's pretty undeniable. Like so much of the first 40 minutes, hour of the movie is kind of like montage after montage of them just hanging out, making out, fighting, doing whatever. But there is always that like spark on screen between the two of them where you're just like, these two are perfect together. Absolutely perfect together. And then when you read about who they were considering casting, because I think Gosling was always the number one choice for Nolan, more or less. I think that was kind of Cassavetes, who's the director, was like, sort of like, I want to make a movie with Ryan Gosling. And then I think I was reading somewhere that it came down to Rachel McAdams and Britney Spears.
Oh, God.
And no shade against Britney Spears. I haven't thought about her in 20 years.
Oh, my God.
But
yeah,
this movie would not have the reputation it has or the lasting legacy that it has if she was in the Ally role. Because, like, I just don't think she could do it.
It just would have been a very different movie with her. And I think that is always kind of the case with people who just got beat out for the role or fell through from the role, like whatever. It would always just make the movie different. And for me, sometimes it's hard to be like, oh, this is clearly the better version with this, or like clearly these people are the better chemistry or whatever, because I tend to like always then think of the movie with the cast that they have. Like I can't kind of insert somebody else in it. But yeah, that would have been a really different role or movie. So
the one thing I didn't like or made me laugh or whatever was the moment that you've already brought up where Gosling leaves the house once he overhears the way that her parents are speaking about him.
Yeah,
he leaves the house, they get in a big fight, and that's when they kind of break up for the first time. He kind of means that she kind of doesn't, whatever. There is a line in there where she's like, I'm going to New York and you could come with me. And he's like, what would I do in New York? And I understand the like draw of your hometown and your own little community and like your standing in that community. I get that. Buddy works in a lumber yard.
Getting 40 cents an hour.
He's not solving algebra. Or you know what I mean? Like he's not doing something that means that he has to stay in, I don't know what the small town is, but in North Carolina or South Carolina, wherever they are. He's not doing anything that requires him to stay there. And I'm pretty certain that New York pre-World War II was kind of a booming place for construction. So I think he could have found work. I think there might have been one or two lumber yards in New York. And so when he said that, I was just like, oh, like, all believability is gone. Like if you, I don't know, like, again, I understand it.
He didn't want to follow the girl.
He didn't. Well, he liked his hometown.
You
know, he had a good relationship with his dad, Sam Shepard, cool guy. very cool guy.
You want to hang out with him?
Out of everyone in this movie, yes. Yeah. Unfortunately, he's dead. But yes, he would be my top choice. But yeah, like there's just something in that line where it's sort of like that line pops up in a lot of movies like this where we need to separate our two main characters for a period of time. Often it is used better than when a character literally has nothing going on.
Yeah.
And could quite easily follow the other person to New York. Like, it's not like they are going to a small town where there might not be opportunity. So when that showed up here, I was like, oh my God, guys, like that type of writing, you know, is unfortunately a bit synonymous with Nicholas Sparks, where it is a lot of cliche stuff. It's a lot, yes, of stuff we've seen hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of times, and he's not necessarily doing anything different with it. He's kind of just repackaging it. And so like that stuff, when it comes up in a movie like this, does make me roll my eyes a little bit, makes me groan a little bit, because I'm sort of like, oh, like you guys really just aren't putting in an effort here. Like you're really just sort of playing it right down the middle.
Do you want to talk about Rachel McAdams?
This is not my favorite performance of hers.
Okay.
I think Allie is like a tough hang.
Okay.
She's a bit of a tough hang.
You really are hung up on like the Noah and Allie of them.
Well, that's the whole movie.
As opposed to like Ryan Gosling and Rachel McAdams.
Okay. Well, so
I love that you keep differentiating? Yeah. Between the two.
Well, yeah. So. I think you have to. I think Ryan Gosling's like a pretty cool guy.
Okay.
I think there's a lot of performative aspects to him, like when you see him on a talk show or red carpet or whatever.
Yeah.
But I think I've read enough, I've learned enough over the years, sort of like, I think he's pretty cool. I think Rachel McAdams is probably really fucking cool to hang out with in real life. Would have been really nice if they had both been nominated this year.
Yeah.
But the Academy obviously just does not like Judy Blume. I would have had her on my ballot, that's for sure.
Okay.
Yeah, she would have been my top five. But yeah, like hell of a moment for Rachel McAdams.
Incredible.
I looked it up. So Mean Girls came out in April, and then this comes out in June.
Oh, geez. It's
like, wow, like you are fucking catching lightning there.
So I was thinking about that. I knew that they must be pretty close. What I love about this in comparison to Mean Girls is really quickly she does something different.
Oh, yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Yeah. It's not, I'm going to be pigeonholed into this, like, mean girl kind of role. And even this, she plays kind of an older teenager, and then she gets to play like a young adult, so like similar, I'm sure, to her actual age.
Yeah.
And not being like, well, I'm gonna be stuck as a teenager forever.
That was the thing, like, wasn't she like 25 or 26 when she made Mean Girls? So like she would have been the same age.
Yeah, I think she was older than the person playing her mom. Or,
well, she was very close.
She was close in age, yeah, as the
but she
mom
was by far the oldest of the Plastics, yeah. I think, like by a few years.
Yeah.
But yes, no, I agree. Like to have something like this come out so soon afterwards, where it's sort of like, I still think Regina George is a better performance, because I think I always like when characters play villains.
You do.
I just prefer that, especially prefer that over playing a love interest, or, you know, what she's doing here. But to have this so quickly afterwards, like you've shot out the box on your first two big movies.
Yeah.
There's no lines that we can paint you in, because you've shown us immediately you could do whatever you want.
Yeah.
And like, that's kind of been the rest of her career. So, you know, she jumps from this, she jumps from that. Like she would do more Nicholas Sparks type movies, but then she would have something like Spotlight in there, or it's not that well liked at the time or anymore, but like doing something like True Detective season 2, sort of like, I don't know who Rachel McAdams is now.
Yeah.
Like there, you know, she could quite literally do whatever she wants, and I'll kind of buy it. Right up to Are You There, God, It's Me, Margaret, where you're like, oh, now she's a mom, and sort of,
oh,
like,
yes, because she plays a mom in that, doesn't she?
Plays a mom, and you're just like, yep, I like, you know, been a fan of hers for 20 years now, and so like, yeah, I guess she is in the mom stage of her career. So I'm a big fan. I really like her, and I like her movies, and I like her in most of the movies. Allie is a tough hang. I think the interesting thing though with the movie is that as the movie goes along, I think the movie kind of starts as Ryan Gosling's movie, kind of starts as Noah's movie.
Yeah.
And then I think once we get through the World War II stuff, it's then like firmly her movie. She has to make the decisions. She has to decide where things go. And, like, then you get to really see Rachel McAdams cook. And, like, she has a few scenes with him. She has a few scenes with her mom, Joan Allen. Great Joan Allen.
So there's some positives in this movie. They're, like, hidden. Sorry.
It's not a great role by Joan Allen. Joan Allen is great.
Oh, okay. You love Joan Allen.
I just love Joan Allen.
Okay.
But, yeah, like, she gets a few scenes here and there where you're just like, oh, yeah, like, Rachel McAdams, this is why she's been one of our best actors for 20 years. Like, she just has it. She has it. So, yeah, Ali's not my favorite character. I do love Rachel McAdams.
Anything we haven't talked about that you want to bring up?
I think the opening, like, we kind of get thrust right into the story. The story picks up, like, as soon as Noah sees Ali for the first time.
Yeah, because I kind of get the impression that he's maybe a little bit into the journal.
Oh, I got the impression that he basically starts every day.
Oh, okay.
I saw this as like a 50 first dates scenario where every day he's starting from the beginning.
Oh.
And every night he hopefully cracks the code and she comes back to him for a little bit.
Oh, see, that's now even more heartbreaking.
No, I don't think so. But I was just curious, as a young woman yourself.
Okay.
And as a young woman at the time of this movie, if somebody approached you in the manner that Ryan Gosling approaches Rachel McAdams in this movie.
To kind of force her into a date.
Yeah. And how would you respond to that? Because he does straight up threaten suicide if she does not go on a date with him.
And then forces her to beg for the date. Yeah. Or be more enthusiastic about going on the date.
There was a big part of me where it's sort of like, I think this only works if you look like Ryan Gosling. I think if anyone else tries this in real life, the police are being called, there's restraining orders, and all of a sudden your job at the lumberyard, which you're so proud to have for 40 cents an hour, which you can't possibly follow your girlfriend to New York for, that's gone. Well, I guess all of a sudden you could go to New York.
Yeah.
But yeah, there was just, I was like, this is sort of, I know I've watched 7 Nicholas Sparks movies. Yeah. I don't necessarily have clear thoughts on all of them.
Okay.
They all kind of bleed together at a certain point. But to me, this is like bad middle-aged man writing younger romance. Where it's sort of like, it's going to be a big gesture. But actually, when you start to unpack that, it's like, no. This is not romantic at all.
Yeah, there is a little bit of red flags. Because I think when he first meets her and he kind of goes up to her and I think he asks to go on a date or whatever. And she
asks her to dance. Asks her to dance.
Yes.
Yeah. She doesn't know who he is.
Yeah. But asks to go dance.
Seemingly on a date.
Yeah. I was kind of like, that's ballsy. Like, okay, you're shooting your shot. I can appreciate that. And she says no. And then one of the other guys says, let's go on the Ferris wheel. She's like, okay. That I'm like, cool with. You're shooting your shot. You're taking your chance. Life doesn't happen unless you do that. Cool. Him then jumping on the Ferris wheel, I'm always just like, I don't know if I would have responded to that. And then having to be like super enthusiastic to accept a date that I had already previously said no to. No. So then I love that, like, the next time that they run into each other on the street, she's there being like, what date? I never said yes to that and stuff. So like, she then tries to kind of roll it back. And forces him to kind of be like, no, you have to ask me again. Or like, you have to do something spectacular that I've never thought of. And so, yeah, then it's...
So what does he do?
Tag along on
it. Tags along to the movies. I guess this is set in the 40s. So like...
40s, small town. Like, there's not a lot happening.
A group hang to the movies maybe was new and inventive at that time. Certainly not anymore.
And then lying on the ground looking at the stoplights.
Yes. I do wish that there was like one more little thing in the movie theater scene. Like the way that it's shot and the way that it's presented to us, it's like a surprise double date.
Yeah.
Their two friends are already together and the four of them go to the movies and the two friends are basically just making out the entire time. And Noah comes and sits beside Ali. And I don't know if I missed something, but it's basically just the two of them sitting together and then the four of them leaving after the movie. And Ali and Noah being like, I think we're going to walk home.
You would have liked like some kind of interaction to connect the, them sitting together and then them walking home together.
Yeah, like I will give them points that they don't talk during the movie. So we can't have them talking during the movie, because if they did that, I would have wanted them both dead. But
the two people making out during the movie, you're fine with, though?
That's more okay. They're not speaking. I just would have liked maybe a look or a glance. Like, you know what I mean? Like
an offering of popcorn, an offering of something.
Something. Okay. Like, I do understand that at this point, there is definitely an attraction from the two. Like, despite Allie's protests on the street, she's certainly interested.
Yeah.
We'll say. But, yeah, I would have just liked something in the movie theater to sort of be like an unspoken agreement of, like, plans later. Like, we're ditching our friends after this, right? Yeah, we're definitely ditching our friends. And then it's sort of like, but the way that it's kind of given to us, it's sort of like, that comes out of nowhere a little bit.
Even them walking across the street, just kind of saying something.
Something.
Okay.
Something, you know. But I didn't write this movie. No. Nicholas Sparks did. But yeah, I don't know. I don't know. It's definitely got a legacy.
Yeah.
Reading the comments was very split. Between people being like, this is a load of shit, and people being like, I still cry my eyes out. And so it's like, okay, like, it's not going anywhere. This is going to, and I guess as long as Ryan Gosling and Rachel McAdams continue to make great movies and be movie stars, this movie
will always be talked about.
Will always be talked about, because, you know, it kind of was the start for both of them. Now, like, me and you were actually, our Ryan Gosling credentials go way back.
I was thinking about that when I was watching the movie.
Way back. Breaker High.
I always forget what it's called.
Yeah, Breaker High. The only other one who kind of came out with that was his buddy on the show is Tyler Labine. And, like, he's had an okay career. Like, he's a bit actor. He's a character actor. But he does, to bring this back to something I'm interested in, he's in the first Apes movie.
Oh, is he?
Yep. He's got a pretty good role in it. He's kind of patient zero. But yeah, like Breaker High, we used to watch that all the time. And I also know, like, Ryan Gosling did all the Young Hercules stuff.
Yep.
Which I would have seen. And then I don't know if it about anything before that.
Yeah, I'm just kind of looking. So, like, movie-wise, oh, he was in Remember the Titans before this.
Before this, right. But after Breaker High.
But after Breaker High.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Okay. That makes sense.
Yeah.
Breaker High. He's Alan.
Yeah. It would have been kind of like, Remember the Titans would have been my first, like, movie
introduction. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I guess, like, we didn't, but people would also know him from Mickey Mouse Club.
Yeah.
Like, he was on there with Britney Spears and Christina Aguilera. Now that I'm thinking about it, that's maybe why they were looking at Britney Spears for this movie.
Oh, that's true.
Because he'd already done stuff with her.
Yeah.
I still don't think she would have been very good.
No.
But that does make a little bit more sense now that I'm on that train of thought.
Now that you're thinking about things.
Yeah, yeah. But, yeah, I don't know. It's, like, it's perfectly fine. Of all the Nicholas Sparks movie that I've seen, it's probably the best.
Okay.
I think I'm not going to. I'll say that right now. I'm not even going to lie to myself or our listener. But
our one listener.
Yeah, but like, it would be interesting to go back and look at Message in a Bottle, because Message in a Bottle, I think, was Nicholas Sparks' second or third book, but the first movie that they made.
Okay.
And it is with adults. So it is a romance between adults, whereas a lot of the stuff that came afterwards were, like, teenagers or young adults, or, you know, like, early 20s sort of stuff. Whereas that one, I think, was Kevin Costner and, like, Robin Wright or something like that. You know what I mean? Like, they were, like, easily in their 40s. It would be interesting to go back and sort of see, like, how does he present romance between people who were presumably his age when he wrote the book. Could be interesting.
Yeah. Box office wise, it's his best one, I think.
Well, Kevin Costner was a big deal.
Yeah.
Big deal.
It was his best one. Then The Notebook, and then Dear John.
Dear John.
But he's got four more coming out, Kieran.
Well, I saw that too. So I don't actually know. I think he probably is an author of a certain popularity, similar to Stephen King, similar to a few others, where it's sort of like, as soon as they say they are writing a book, the movie studio have come in and bought it.
Yeah.
Because they want to be able to make a movie if the book is any good. So I'd say he has sold the movie rights two of these books, but I would be weary about those movies ever being made because he has been on a bit of a downward trajectory for the last 10 years in terms of box office.
Yeah, the only one that has a director attached is The Return with Tom Dean. Yeah.
No idea. Well, no. I wouldn't know what the book is anyways.
Yeah.
But yeah, Tom Dean, unfortunately, I don't know who that is. If there's a director attached, that's usually a better sign. But I would say a lot of those books, they've been pre-sold.
Okay.
But we'll see if they ever turn them into movies or not. Yeah, he's made a handsome living. Like,
he's done well.
I'm not going to sort of take away from the fact that like he found his avenue and he made a lot of money and like good on him. But I am happy that I am both out of the age group and they're also not making his movies anymore because I now feel no pressure
to even consider on
a date or whatever to consider the new Nicholas Sparks movie.
Would you have ever considered it on a date though?
I definitely saw some of these on dates.
On dates?
Yeah. 100%. It was not my first choice to go see Dear John, I'll tell you that much.
No, you didn't want to be a part of the meme that then goes around and says, but none for Gretchen Wieners, because she's the only one who's never made a movie, a Nicholas Sparks movie.
What's the Lindsay Lohan one?
Lindsay Lohan might be another one who's not in it, but...
Tough break for Gretchen Wieners.
Gretchen Wieners.
There's none for Lindsay Lohan, too.
Amanda Seinfeld.
Seinfeld?
Yeah. Is Dear John, obviously.
Yeah, she's Dear John.
So.
I don't really know what else to say. I'm kind of rambling at this point.
So I think we're all done for this movie.
Are we going to tease next week? We can kind of tease the next few.
Yeah, so we're going to do best Oscar winners again.
Best
Picture winners.
Yeah. We're bringing that back again.
Bringing that back.
In lead up to this year's Oscars.
Yeah. We're doing it with a bit of a twist this year.
Yeah.
Because we've already done so many from the 2000s.
Yeah, well, I looked it up, and I think with the exception of, I can't remember what it was now.
Three or four, I think we haven't talked about yet.
Yeah.
And one of them was Crash, which we discussed last week was never going to be picked.
It's not
going to
happen, right? Yeah.
So we're doing one instead from the 1990s. We've picked one from 2000.
Yeah.
And then we're doing one from 2010.
Yeah.
The 2010s. But so, I can't tease the movie itself because I... can't remember what it was again.
I haven't seen this movie in a really long time.
Okay.
And so I'll be very interested. I wouldn't say he's one of my favorite actors, but he's one of my favorite actors in this genre.
Okay.
He's one of the absolute greatest ever in this genre. And he may be the greatest actor turned director.
Okay.
He'd be in that conversation. He'd certainly be in that conversation. And so, yeah, that's where we're starting our best picture winners next week. So that's our 1990s pick.
We will see everybody then.